With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Worldwide. Every weight class. It's Lewis Heaton. Whiskey Vinyl. It's the Boxing Rush Hour Show. Hosted by Abraham Gonzalez. You know what you came for. Yes, indeed. This where you come to get your info. Listen up. Other shows throwing the towel.
It's the Boxing Rush Hour Show. Let's go. In the ring, we throw hands. Octagon elbows. Analytical, critical commentary is necessary. A bevy of opinions, we heavy on the winning. This podcast is due, break down the pay-per-view. For boxing purists, yo, let this man through. We rise right, surprise sight at the prize fight. Hands taped up and gloves tied tight. Ring the bell, want some, get some. Let the chip fall where they may work the joints from.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Boxing Rush Hour Show. I am your host, Abraham Gonzalez. As always, intro music by Lewis Heaton. And the podcast is powered by Sofrito Rico. It's where the champions eat. Visit SofritoRico.com for details. Okay, man, we are fresh off of a huge upset. I say huge as far as the odds concerned, but it was a big upset. Dimitri Bivol beat Canelo Alvarez pretty easily. I was there to see the fight, and you know, from what I saw, I gave Canelo maybe two rounds, max three. I just didn't see him winning more than three rounds. Dimitri Bivol was just he looked like the bigger guy in the ring. He acted like the bigger guy in the ring. He was really, really good about keeping that distance. You know, evidence of that was Canelo swinging and missing a lot and lunging a lot and really just hitting air. That's all he was hitting. And Bivol, you know, he was just smart. There was times where, you know, he was in close distance and he didn't stay in there for long. He didn't fall for any traps of Canelo trying to invite him into the kitchen. He didn't go for it. He stayed on the outside. He was patient, kept that guard up, kept that right hand almost like a damn, I don't know, like earmuffs, you know. He kept it up, and he didn't move that thing, it seemed like, because he wasn't trying to get hit by the left hook to the head. So congratulations to Dimitri Bivol. He's already the WBA light heavyweight champ, but now he's beaten the top star of the sport. So be interesting to see what happens. They're talking about a rematch. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. If Canelo exercises it, they have 30 days to decide that, like for sure. And then 6 months to make it, you know, 6 months to have the fight. we'll see how it goes. If he doesn't take that fight, then, you know, we'll see the third Triple G fight in September. And then he'll fight somebody else in England, probably John Ryder in December, and then call it a year. And then maybe he goes after Bivol next year. So we'll see. Time will tell. The only other significant thing that happened on that card was Zili Zhang, I believe his name is. I always mess up his first name, but the heavyweight, 39-year-old. He's resided in Jersey. But, man, he tattooed Scott Alexander with the 1-2 straight down the middle. and knocked him out. If you go on Google, you can see a highlight reel type of knockout. So congratulations to them and his team as they try to make the Hurkacz fight again in order to determine who's going to be the number one contender for the IBF title. So, but that was last weekend, and now we are in the present. Before we get into this weekend, Golden Boy Promotions is doing their fight night on Thursday. So we're recording this Wednesday. So tomorrow night, by the time this podcast posts, it'll be that evening. It's headlined by Acosta versus Rivera, which is a really good fight at flyweight. Andrew Tito Acosta, former 108-pound champ at the junior flyweight level, and he's looking to get back in, on track. He went for the title last time out, came up short, but there's some good fights in here, some good, really good, solid fights. He's going to be on the zone. It looks like it's 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So check that out. All right. Then Saturday we have two cards going. Actually, we have three cards. So we have the Zerto Ramirez, same division. Zerto Ramirez. He's going up against the number one contender, Bosel, over in Anaheim on the zone. And then, maybe about an hour north of that, over at the Forum, they're going to have the Triller Fight Club card, which is going to have a Triller versus on it. So the Triller versus is Cypress Hill versus Onyx, which would be cool, I guess. But the headline is gonna be Sergey Kovalev against Terve Pulev, and then the main attraction here is gonna be the young guns. At least for me, it is. Evan Holyfield is gonna be on the card, son of Evander Holyfield, and he's really, really good. He's with Main Events, Kathy Duvin, all them. And then you got the three Vargas brothers. So Fernando Vargas' sons. You have Junior, you got Amado, and then you got Emiliano. Now, all three have a lot of talent. But if I had to really say, like, hey, this is the guy to really watch, it's going to be the youngest one, Emiliano. He's a beast. He is a beast. And I mean, he is going to make noise right away. He's got it. He's got all three of them have it, but he's got it the most. He's got the looks. He's got the charisma. He also has got the skills behind it. He's going to be a problem. So definitely, if you're going to watch any fights, tune into his or catch his later. But that's going to be the fight to watch. And then Showtime. I'm excited about this fight. I haven't seen too much press out there as of late hyping it, but I'm really excited about this fight. It's Jermell Charlo, unified champ, three straps, going up against Brian Castaño, who's got the WBO champ, the WBO title. And their first fight, I would like to call it unfinished business. Really close fight. I think this is going to be another good fight. It is in the right venue, which is the old StubHub. Now it's called Dignity Sports Health Park, I think it is. But the real name that everybody goes by is the War Grounds. And it's so many wars and legends have gone through there. And I think this fight is appropriately placed because it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. Not going to get too much into it here as I was inspired earlier. Shout out to Brian Jaffe. And I think I'm going to do a preview for that for nyfights.com, along with start times, odds, and everything else. So be on the lookout for that probably around Friday or so. But That fight is going to be exciting. It's on Showtime. It's not no pay-per-view, nothing like that. It's on regular Showtime, 9 p.m. It's going to be exciting. So tune in for that one as well. So this week's guest is Marine veteran, former WBO super featherweight champion, Jamel Semper Fi Harry. He's got a fight coming up next weekend in Las Vegas, and he's fighting the young, hungry Jermaine Ortiz from CES Boxing. So, you know, I brought him onto the show, catch up with him. Last time we spoke to him, he had just dropped the book, and I wanted to see what he had going on, training camp stuff. You know, he's got a new trainer now, Manny Robles. So a lot of different things going on in the world of Jamel Herring. So without further ado, here is my interview. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Boxing Rush Hour Show. My next guest is a Marine veteran, former WBO super featherweight champ, and he has a fight coming up on May 21st at the Resorts World Event Center in Las Vegas. His book, The Fighting Marine, The Jamel Herring Story, dropped not too long ago, which is still available. So go get yourself a copy. My next guest is Jamel Herring. What's going on?
What's going on, brother? Semper Fi. Everything good. Everything is good, bro. I'm just glad to be back. I'm just glad to be back at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So since the last time we spoke and you had your book coming out, what's happened in the world of Jamel Herring? Because I saw a lot of these funny TikTok skits and a lot of your personality coming out. Just talk to me about that time period between you know, the book coming out and you getting your fight date.
I just needed rest and time to myself, you know what I mean? And time with the family, more importantly. But yeah, I released my book. You know, I've been messing around with social media as always, commentating. There was a commentary work with alongside Christina Poncher in Top Rank. So I've been doing that for Sky Sports Network. A little bit, like I said, a little bit of acting. Like, I've just been everywhere, bro. I've just been just basically enjoying life. But I'm finally back to my first main true love, which is boxing. So I've been completely focusing on boxing.
Gotcha. And so, you know, it's already like, you know, talked about already, you know, it, up to nausea that you no longer are with BOMAC. But I'm really interested in knowing how the conversation went with you and Manny Robles, which in turn resulted in him being your trainer. How was that initial conversation like?
You know, it's funny. Me and Manny have worked together over 10 years ago when I was getting, because he actually helped me get to the Olympics. You know, I came out to LA with the USA Boxing. He's one of the coaches, and I trained with him before I went to Brazil to qualify for the Olympics. Then I trained with him again that summer for the Olympic Games. So I've known Manny for quite some time, man. You know, before I even went to BOMAC, I actually had called him first about training me back in 2017. But things happened, and I went with BOMAC, you know, and you see how that played out. But when it came back around, I was saying to myself, you know, okay, I need to get a new trainer. Why not see if Manny's available and see what we can do there. And when I spoke to him, instantly he was all for it. You know, he was all on board. It was let me give you a call back. Let me think about it. He was just like, okay, cool. And like, you know, me being a Marine, he said to me, he said, when can you come out? I was like, I can come out tomorrow. You know, I can get on the next plane out. You know, I'm ready to work. And then, you know, and then we just kicked it off.
Wow. Okay. And now talk to me about the difference in training camps. You know, since the last four years or so, you were working right with BOMAC and you guys were training out of was it Colorado Springs?
Colorado, Omaha. So the difference with Manny is you know, I'm getting older, so it's basically, you know, say, like, because I even spoke with Tim Bradley. I remember talking to Tim Bradley during the Crawford Porter fight. After that fight, He was like, listen, man, you already know how it takes to be a champion, but you don't got to put your body through hell. And I used to just put my body through whatever, because that, you know, that Marine Corps mentality. So I was always, you know, BOMAC, and nothing against them, we was working every day of the week. You know, we were doing something. Even on Sundays, we were doing something in terms of a workout. With Manny, it's more like, we just need to do enough. You know, we'll do this today. Okay, if I see you look good, you know, with everything that you're doing, we'll cut back on some things. So, you know, we don't peak too early and we'll rest. And then, you know, on Saturday, I might do a run. I'll do a run Saturday morning. But then, like, Sundays, it's just rest. And, like, to get the best out of me in sparring, we'll literally spar first and then do our second workout afterwards in the evening. Like, so, like, for instance, we'll spar at 1 p.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But we'll do strength and conditioning at, like, you know, 7:30 p.m. at night. That way we have time to recover. But, you know, in the meantime, before sparring, you see that gap, we have that time just to get more sleep and rest. So, you know, with him, it's basically just more about rest and not, you know, straining your body so much.
And how's the atmosphere in the gym where you train out of? I see a lot of young fighters, you know, getting in there. How is it working in there?
Oh, it's great, man. It's great. I mean, of course, I miss my Omaha family and time Colorado Springs family. Shout out to those guys still. You know, still a lot of love over there. But, you know, it's great. You know me, wherever I go, wherever I lay my feet at, I'm always going to be respectful. And because, like I said, this is their gym. So I didn't come in there as, like, you know, I was the champion and I'm the star. And, no, I mean, like I said, I love being around, you know, the seeing the young fighters coming up, you know, in the amateur system. I love, I respect the, you know, the prospects in the pro system as well. And, you know, as you can see right now, Brian Castano is using that gym for his training camp. So every time me and Brian see each other, it's always a mutual respect. You know, he'll come to me, we'll hug it out, we'll speak a few words. You know, he'll ask how I'm doing, I'll ask how he's doing, you know, and so on. And it's just a great atmosphere. There's no egos, and there's definitely no animosity. You know, everyone shows everyone the proper respect when they come in the gym. And more importantly, I love about being in Southern California, you know, it's always going to be sparring where it's always going to be, you know, sparring coming from all over, especially when they know you was a champion and everybody's going to want to come out and try you. But it's always great. It's always great work.
And that's what I tell everybody. I'm like, listen, I think outside of California, maybe one or two other places, you know, Southern California is where you get the best work when it comes to sparring. Yeah. Like, no question about it. Now, speaking of young fighters, one of your young fighters is training out of there too, right?
Right. It's funny. It's funny going back to like you pointed out, working with Manny. You know, me and JC brought Makai over there first. I never forget. And Manny says to me, when I was over there before everything happened, he said, "Hey, when you gonna come over here? You know, the gym zone's open to you. You know, you're always welcome over here." And I was just like, you know, at that time I just had my manager's hat on, so I was just thinking, just, you know, working with getting Makai situated. But, like, when everything happened between, you know, me and BOMAC and everything, I took Manny up on that offer, and that's what also made it a lot easier. Like, listen, Manny, remember me saying before, whenever I wanted to come down here, I was welcome, and, you know, that's how it went. But Makaya, it was interesting because not only was I playing the manager, but I was also playing more of, like, a you know, the role model more role, because she was training when I'm training. You know what I mean? So I got to step it up. I got to step it up for her to show, you know, where she can get to, you know, in her own career, in her own right, you know. But I can't be in there slacking, because, you know, I got to basically set the example. So, you know, when I'm working hard, I'm leading by example with her. And, you know, she's impressed Manny and everyone else in there. So, you know, she's had a great camp. And as you know, she's fighting this week. So I believe, like I said, I know she's going to win it, but I always tell her, you know, at this level, it's not about you winning, it's how you look doing it, you know, and it gets the people talking. So, but I got a lot of confidence in her, and she's looking great. My other fighter who I'm training, Buddy McGirt out here, Matthew Rodriguez, he's fighting this week as well. So I'm, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I will stay busy, but at the same time, I got to, you know, have my eye on the prize as well and make sure that I'm focused for my own fight.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, when I saw some of your videos with her and you working out, it kind of seemed like some old Marine Corps shit where, you know, you're the sergeant in charge and you got the PFC Lance Corporal, you know, and you know, they're looking at you secretly trying to outdo you and you gotta hold the standard, you know what I mean? And you gotta, you know, represent and make sure that you're at the top of your game.
Listen, man, even now, you and I were young Marines at one point in time, and we used to look at our master sergeants and gunnies that was still outdoing us. So like, hold on, you know, JC calling right now. You know, like when I'm looking at, like, say, I remember us being like those young PFCs and Lance Corporals, and then you see like the gunnies and the man, they outrunning, they outdoing us and everything. So I'm like, man, but I have that mentality now, like, yo, like, I'm not gonna let y'all just try to outdo me. Like, I always tell man, it's a Manny. Because you know me, bro, you see me all year round. I look like, you know, everybody thinks I'm always like, always in shape. I'm like, listen, when I'm in shape, I'm not going to let anyone get the best of me. And Manny was like, man, this guy's serious. Because like sprints, runs, everything. Like, I don't care if you're 20 years old, whatever. I'm not going to let you, you know, outdo me. And it's just not only the Marine Corps mindset, but championship mindset as well. You know what I mean? Like, again, not only for my own fighters, but I got to set the example for everyone around me. Like, yo, this guy is still serious. This guy is still really in it. I'm not in it. People, you know how people think, oh, he's in it for the money. Like, no, I was smart with my finances. Like, it's not much as that. It's more of I still got love for the sport. And I want to, you know, and I get the respect. I got to be respectful for the sport. You know, once you play around with boxing, that's when you start to get really hurt. So no, I take everything seriously. And every day I wake up motivated. I'm ready to push myself even more to where the point where now it's my last week of camp. You know, Manny's kind of, you know, pulling me back a bit. But yeah, man, every day I go in there, like just this morning, we were doing sprints, and I would guess who's the first one daring back, you know, that's just me. Yeah.
Now, you're fighting Jermaine Ortiz. He's 15-0-1. He's from CES Boxing out east, right? He's coming off of a win in February. Solid young fighter, aggressive, lightweight, because you're moving up in weight to fight him. What are your thoughts coming into the fight when it comes to your opponent?
I mean, I'm motivated for the fight. I mean, like I said, I fought at a high caliber for so long, so it doesn't bother me. I've beaten undefeated, you know, fighters. I mean, when I fought Lamont Roach, he was undefeated, number one contender, the Mandator. You know what I mean? So that don't mean nothing to me either. I think if anything, if you look at even my own career, it's kind of a situation where I was doing, where I was once in before I fought Denis Shabakov. I believe I was like 15-0, 16-0. And you know what I'm saying? And the experience factor is what had got me beaten that night. And I feel like I'm in that role, you know, with this fight. And I'm hungry because I know with a victory, I know what comes next. So I'm not looking at anyone lightly. Like, I mean, you see the videos now. I'm training hard, man. I'm busting my ass in that gym, and I'm not looking over anyone. But, like I said, we've done our studies, and I mean, nothing against him, but it's nothing I haven't seen before or dealt with.
Okay. All right. Well, and that one is going to be on ESPN regular, right?
Yeah.
I don't think
May 21st, co-main event.
May 21st, co-main event. Right around that time frame is Memorial Day, right? A very important day, especially for us that are currently in the military and ones that are veterans. Is there anyone that you want to do a special shout that may have passed that you know that was a veteran?
Yeah, my best friend, Stephen Brown, was the reason why I got into the Marine Corps. Growing up with him, he was a year older than me, so he enlisted before I did. So when he came up from boot camp, he encouraged me to enlist as well. So shout out, you know, definitely for him. And of course, you know, May 25th was my daughter who passed away, her birthday around that time. When I won the title back in 2019. Right. So yeah, I mean, this time frame is a big. You know, thing for me personally, and on a lot of levels, and of course, you and I have served with a lot of servicemen and women that actually passed throughout the year. So, you know, you gotta give your, you know, you always gotta give your respect and think about those guys who you serve along, those women as well that you served along with. And that's why I go so hard now to continue representing. You know, it's bigger than me. So, but yeah, I'm motivated. Like I'm like Manny is excited. He likes what he sees in there. You know, I feel great. You know, like I said, I don't ever have issues with the weight. If anything, I'm moving up in the weight. Back up to lightweight again. But I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. You know me, bro. For one, like I said, with Shakur, it was difficult because I had to find myself, you know, trying to find him. And you know, he's hard to get as it is. But like when you point out just now, like sometimes he can be aggressive. You know, that's what I like. You know what I mean? If you want to, you know, you see me, if you want to get in a dog fight of a Marine, you know, I'm a fight back. I'm not going to just let you do whatever. You know what I mean? Especially if you make it a dog fight, we can make it a dog fight. You know, but whatever they bring to the table, I'm not running from it. I'm going to the fire if anything. But I mean, they'll see that there's still a lot left in me. So that's why, like I said, I don't make excuses for the last fight. I don't worry about it. Everybody's not a Shakur Stevenson. You've seen what Shakur just did with Oscar Valdez. Like I said, I was there at ringside. I was commentating that fight as well. So I wasn't too surprised. I mean, but shout out to Oscar, you know, Oscar fought his heart out. But then it also, you can see in those rounds, physically, easily, that Oscar Valdez was frustrated. So you, like, as Shakur is just a different and a special talent. So, like, if I'd have lost a smile that wasn't on my level, you know, the way I did, then I'll be upset. But like, no, I don't really think about that. I mean, that's in the past now. I mean, like I said, Tom Ranks, they still doing good by me. Like I said, a major win here puts me in a bigger spot. And it's funny that we're talking about it because, truth be told, Jermaine Ortiz was not the first option on my return. My first option was Richard Comey. Mm-hmm. Richard Comey was my first option, but Richard Comey's team, they said no. I didn't argue about it. Then I was going. Then we went out to try to fight Robson Cassiel at 130. So I was going to go. I was going to even stay at 130 for that fight. But I think he had visa issues, so that fight had got canceled out. You know what I mean? And then of course, the whole setup was for me to get past obviously this upcoming fight. And to fight Miguel Burchelt finally, but you seen what happened there. So we got, you know, that idea is basically scrapped. And then they came back with the whole Jermaine Ortiz. And I was just like, you know what I mean? I was like, right, yo, whatever. Just make us like too many fights to fall in. I just want to get back in the ring. So yeah, like for me, like I've been trying to fight even, you know, at the highest level with guys that have been, you know, world champions or fought world champions. So that's just me. Like I wasn't looking for no tune up. So with this fight, like I said, I definitely, you know, and the man with the experience factor. But again, like I said, when you're fighting with these young, hungry fighters, you gotta still bring your A game because, you know, they're there to try to overthrow you. But yeah, man, like I mean, and then matter of fact, that's before all of that, I was actually in the running to fight George Kambosos in Australia. If Devin Haney didn't, they had me on standby, like true Marine Corps fashion. Yeah. I think you probably look back, I put a tweet out. It was kind of a hint, like, you know, to hurry up and wait. I had said something like that on Twitter. And that's what I'm referring to. Like they had me on standby because you do your homework, bro. They was the whole back and forth if Devin was gonna sign the contract or not and go to Australia. So they had called me and was like, listen, if Devin doesn't sign the contract, we'll just give the fight to you to fight George Kambosos. So I was, you know what I'm saying? I was always in the picture of fighting in big fights. So I mean, and like I said, again, it's nothing against Ortiz, but it's not one of the situations where you can't say like, oh, I was being used at the stepping stone. Like, no, I was actually had other options, but all those options fell apart. So I had to take what was available. It's nothing like, you know, nobody looking, it's not like I'm being looked over. I mean, like I said, Top Rank was willing to give me that fight. And even my guy, Luda Bella, was you know, willing to give me, you know, give me the opportunity as well. But I look at it like this. If the opportunity came like that, if it came before, it'll come again. Especially if I'm not the one, if I'm not the one who like said, oh, I don't want it. No, I mean, I just couldn't, you know, things happen. I'm glad that, you know, I'm actually happy that, you know, Devin, you know, he's doing what he's doing. Like I said, he's willing to go in Smiles' backyard, not once, but twice if he wins. And also potentially fight Lomachenko right after that. So shout out to Devin Haney for, you know, for doing what most won't do this day in boxing. But yeah, bro, like I was just, like, they had the Marine and everything. Like, you know, they know Marines. Whatever the fight said, I was willing. They seen what I did in Dubai. So it was like, hey, he'll go to Australia too. But like you asked me earlier, like what I've been doing the last few months, that's been my whole story these past few months. Like, it was either trying to fight this guy and that guy and wait to see if I'm going to fight this guy. So, like I said, hurry up and wait.
Now, do you have any projects that you can discuss about outside of the ring that you're currently working on or involved in?
It's crazy, man. I wish I could say that, but like with me, when I really get into back in the training camp, I usually cut everything out. I mean, I've been you know, on contact about doing things, but like I kind of like blanked it out, you know, put it, you know, until I'm done with May 21st, and you know, that's that. You know, that's just it for me. Like, you know me, bro. Like when I'm not in training, that's when you stop seeing me doing all the extra stuff and whatever. But when I'm in training camp, it's every day just grind. It's like, for me, it's pretty much like how I was in the, like, deployments. You know, every day, you know, you wasn't thinking about, you know, what to do after you left, you know, the desert or whatever. You were just thinking like, listen, every day, grind until I put, you know, until I set my feet back in my household. Then I can, okay, let's see, now and I can do something differently. But now for me, it just, like I said, I'm treating this fight like I said, it's another world title fight, bro.
All right. And so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Jermell Simplify Herring, you know, he's got that fight coming up on ESPN May 21st at the Resorts World Event Center in Las Vegas. You could either watch him on ESPN or go and get tickets for the event, and check out Jermell do his thing against Jermaine Ortiz. Do you want to do any last shouts and let everybody know where they can pick up your merchandise and your social media?
I mean, like I said, I just want to say, more importantly, you know, thank you to everybody who's still riding by me. That's the main thing for me, man. Like, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that I still got people that still want to see me, you know, get back in that ring and still believe in me. And, you know, like I said, but, you know, like I said, May is, I mean, 21st is right. It's around the corner. Also, shout out, you know, to my guy, actually Sam Watson over at the PBC. He wants me to come out this weekend, you know, check out the Gastano Charlo. It's gonna be a great fight. You know, Jermell's working hard. I know I've seen Brian personally working hard. That's gonna be a great fight. But yeah, man, I'm just grateful to still be around, you know, doing what I do, and I can do it at 100%. But you like I said, you guys are all gonna see it next Saturday for sure. Like, I'm leaving it all in the ring, man.
All right, and then merch, social media pages.
Speaking of merch, I just went to go see my guys they wasn't there. You know, my guys at FTWRbrand.com. I love them though. But yeah, if you want my merch, please go to, like I said again, FTWRbrand.com for all the Jermell Herring wear. Like I said, I'm, you know, I love those guys. Those guys have been great to me, man. But yeah, like I said, for me, man, I'm just excited, bro. Like, I'm not, you don't hear that, like, oh, just another fight. No, I'm hyped. I'm pumped up, man. I just want to get back in it. But like I said, you're gonna see a lot of breath of fresh air next Saturday, bro.
That's what's up. All right, Jermell. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and we'll be chatting soon.
Got you, bro.
All right.
The Boxing Rush Hour Show, hosted by Abraham Gonzalez. It's the Boxing Rush Hour Show.